And good morning, church, everybody. I'm glad to see you today. And Sister Michelle and Silas Calloway and AJ are in Pennsylvania this morning. So they made it there safely yesterday afternoon. And we're glad that they get a little bit of time. The kids are going to go to camp this week in central Pennsylvania. And so it's exciting for them. And I think about my in-laws. Some of you saw my mother-in-law a couple weeks ago. She was here visiting. And back in January, her and my father-in-law were here. And they've been here a little more often than normal. So I'm glad for that. And I know you guys miss my parents. And my dad was here actually last week for just a brief period. But we'll try to get him back in the pulpit here at Souls Harbor again sometime in the near future. But I think about my family. It's a blessing to be a part of the Hoover family. I was raised in church. Some of you were raised in church as well. And some of you I've known my whole life because you were at this church my whole life. And so I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for my wife's goodly heritage as well. Some of you don't know her sisters. She has four sisters and no brothers, five girls. And that is, I mean, I think of the Subels. They at least have, they've got all those boys, but they at least have one girl, right? And no brothers for Michelle. And and I had no brothers either. So we have that in common. And all these girls, but we have now all these brother-in-laws. And so that's a blessing. And they're sincere, godly Christians. Appreciate Michelle's sisters and several of the, three of them, three of her sisters are married, but there's still one that has not gotten married yet, and it's not even the youngest one, the second youngest sister. But I appreciate Christian, godly young man, had some difficulty down in Florida where they were working and serving in a church, moved up to Pennsylvania recently, and that seems to be the trend. Everyone's moving to Pennsylvania, except for Paul and Michelle. We are not moving to Pennsylvania, so we will be here. But Christian and Olivia, appreciate them. And I have also Caleb, very close to Caleb. Caleb and Christian both actually work at the same place. They're both prison guards, and they're working in a Pennsylvania state prison there. And then also Will, who is saved during the time that I've known him even, got saved. And married Kimmy, Michelle's second oldest sister. But I think about Kimmy. The funny thing was the first time I met Michelle was at First Baptist Church down in Hammond, Indiana. And I met her, and we had talked, prior to meeting. We had gotten to know each other and then written letters. But the first time we were at a church service together, she was singing in church, and she couldn't, for whatever reason, the way it was set up, she had to sit up with the choir, and her sister, who was in college with her at Hiles Anderson College, was there in the service, and so I sat next to her sister. So we always joke that my first date was with Michelle was sitting next to her sister Kimmy in church. But Kimmy was not married for a long time, and she graduated in 2013. She went to teach in a Christian school down in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and then decided she wanted to go back home. Like I said, everyone's moving back to Pennsylvania, and she's been serving the Lord there in Pennsylvania. And there were not any prospects for marriage for her at church. But that wasn't her objective or reason for going home. In fact, there was probably more eligible men for her to marry down there in North Carolina at that church. It was a bigger church. But God provides. God always provides. If you wait on the Lord and you trust the Lord, God will bring the right one at the right time. And the worst thing is to get involved with the wrong person and to run ahead of God. So I'm thankful for my brother-in-law, Will. About the time Kimmy was graduating from college in 2013, Will was 21 years old and in jail. He had been on drugs. He had been kicked out of his home for several years. He had been homeless at 21 years of age. But it was in that jail that he came to the end of his rope, and this is where his life changed for the better. He didn't find religion in jail. Some people do find religion in jail. He found true salvation in jail. He found the Lord. He got out shortly thereafter, and like a moth to a flame, he went back into drugs, unfortunately. But this time, something was different. he no longer found enjoyment in that lifestyle. And now he lost something he did have. He lost the peace and the joy that he had with the Lord, his fellowship with the Lord, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And this time he thoroughly dealt with his sin. And it was at this point that he turned himself into the police for violating his parole. And things were different now. He found it all, as they say, when he lost everything. Will's life changed, but he didn't just stop at, it didn't just stop at his salvation. He grew in sanctification, and he became a successful Christian. Now, he wasn't playing church anymore. He wasn't just doing it as a show. He wasn't just doing it to get something. He wasn't just going to the, you know, to chapel in prison to get out of whatever else that he had to do. He was doing this now for the Lord. He became a successful Christian. And there is something about the environment. I think of the environment in which we live here in our city, this metropolitan area, this great, great city of Milwaukee. In many ways, it's not a very big city, but I believe this has become the world stage for a lot of things. A lot of attention has been given to our fair city. But there's something about the environment in which we live here that can sap our energy. Those of you that want to be a successful Christian, it sap it can affect our spirit, all of the things that we are dealing with, all the things that we see. It assaults our humanity. But God wants you to enjoy good success. And the key to this lies in what God told Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I think of my brother-in-law, Will, and I think of many others that I've known that have come out of that lifestyle, have come out of a lifestyle of living for self. By the way, you don't have to be on drugs to be living for self. You don't have to be an alcoholic to be living for self. And by the way, you don't have to. You can live a clean life in many ways in the world standards and still not be a successful Christian. But how do we find true success as a believer? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God shows us here. He tells Joshua after Moses dies. Joshua takes the reins. He follows Moses, and he says in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success." How can I be successful? That is a question that a lot of people do ask. A lot of people in the secular world ask that question. How can I be successful? And they have a plan. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get a mentor. I'm going to find a coach, a life coach. I'm going to save, or I'm going to work, or I'm going to get an education, or I'm going to, get a great job. But that is not true, godly, spiritual success. And the only success that matters is spiritual success. This is the good success that Joshua was talking about, and we find it by meditating on the Word of God and observing or following through, applying God's Word to our life. And so with me this morning, if you would pray, let's ask God's blessing. Father, I pray that you would work in this church today. Lord, we need your help. God, we lack wisdom. We lack the power that we need to live and to be successful as a saint. Lord, I pray that you would give to each of us, Lord, a heart to understand and a will to follow and obey your word. I pray that your spirit would be in control of this service, Lord. I pray that each of our lives, Lord, that we would surrender to you. Lord, we need to be saved. Lord, that we need to, there's only one way to heaven, only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ, and who is the way, the truth, and the life. And thank you for God for giving us Jesus, the one who stood in our place, who died on the cross in our place. God, I pray that you'd help us today, Lord, to number one, be saved. If there's one here that's not saved, that they would get saved. But for those that are saved, the rest of us, Lord, that we would surrender to your will. God, I pray that you'd help us in our growth, our spiritual growth, that we would be truly successful. Lord, not doing enough to get by, not just showing up, because that's good. It's good to show up. But Father, you want us to do your will. You want us to be complete and mature spiritually. So help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Number one, be proactive about these things. Number one, spend time. And by the way, all three of these things are going to sound so simplistic, so simple. Well, they're simple, but not they're not done, unfortunately. The fundamentals of anything. How can you be a success at anything without mastering first the fundamentals? I remember playing basketball many, many years ago, and I remember saying, I can shoot three-pointers. See, I wanted to be a shooting guard, you know? I can shoot three-pointers. And the coach said, can you do a layup? Because if you can't do a layup, I don't care how well you can shoot outside. You have to be able to do some of the most fundamental things. Dribbling, right? Being able to pass the ball successfully. How to catch the ball, right? To receive the, somebody throws it to you, you have to be able to catch it. To do a bounce pass, to do a push pass, all of those things. The fundamentals of a sport. But how about the fundamentals of our walk with God, the Christian life? If we don't have those down, then we cannot be successful. Number one, spend time in God's Word daily. Spend time in God's Word daily. I don't have the graphic. I was going to get this graphic, but the Americans, this is from Lifeway Research, Americans have a positive view of the Bible. That's great. Many say the Christian scriptures are filled with moral lessons for today. However, more than half of Americans have read little or none of the Bible. Hey, that's great. I'm glad that we acknowledge that this is has moral teaching, or even some will go so far as we will say, this is absolute truth. This is objective truth. And it's great that we agree with those things, but it's another thing for us to read it, because once we read it, then it has the transforming power. When we read the Word of God and we listen to the Holy Spirit who guides us into the truth, then we can have our life transformed and our mind renewed. Amen? And so we have to read the Word. And less than a quarter of those who have ever read the Bible, they go on to say, have a systematic plan for reading the Bible each day. And a third of Americans never pick it up on their own, according to a new study from Nashville-based Lifeway Research. Small wonder why many church leaders worry about biblical illiteracy, said Scott McConnell. He said, most Americans don't know firsthand the overall story of the Bible because they rarely pick it up. Even among worship attendees, less than half read the Bible daily. And the only time most Americans hear from the Bible is when someone else is reading it. Many unfamiliar with biblical text, almost 9 out of 10 households, 87%, own a Bible, according to the American Bible Society, and the average household has 3 Bibles. I was doing police work about 2 months ago, and I was by myself on this particular call, and because I was driving the wagon and doing some patrol in the area, just kind of helping out. And so I go to this house where they were having the call said it was family trouble. Family trouble. And basically what that means is there are family members who are fighting with each other or arguing, and we hope at the very least we hope that it's just a verbal disagreement. We don't want any battery or anything like that. So I was careful to kind of vet the call, look at the notes before I went, knocked on the door at this apartment, and I go in there, and it was a mom. Unfortunately, this mom had lost her husband. The dad was in the home up till about a year and a half ago, but he passed away. And the children were there. There was several teenage children in their senior year, and one was actually graduating from high school. And there was one daughter in particular that was not helping around the house. She wouldn't do her chores. That's really all it was. And the mom had finally got so frustrated that she called the police. Now, I had empathy and I took pity on this situation, because you think about it. She doesn't have her husband there. The dad is not in the home anymore. And the other kids are trying to help. And they're even telling this other sister, you need to help mom. You need to help mom. And so I had a little heart-to-heart chat with her. And then I had a little heart-to-heart chat with the mom, kind of separated them. And I looked over on the kitchen counter, and there was a Bible right there. And in the moment, the Holy Spirit told me to say this. I said, I see you got a Bible over there. I said, are you a God-fearing mother? And tears started to come to her eyes. And we had a nice conversation. We were able to encourage her. I don't know what became of that. Haven't heard back from them. They haven't been called back there since, as far as I know. Nobody else has either. But you know, the Bible in the home is a great thing. Some homes have three of them. And it's great that the Bible is there, and sometimes it sits on the kitchen table or it's on the coffee table. But it's another thing for us to actually pick the Word of God up and read it. We shouldn't be taking our Bibles and blowing the dust off just every time we come to church, right? We come to church, we should have cracked this Bible open at least three to four times between services. It should be something that you should not be ashamed to take your Bible to work. People take all kinds of garbage to work with them to read on their break or they're on their phone. Why not pull the Word of God out? Most people actually do prefer to read out of a paper Bible, but hey, if you have it on your phone, the very least, just read the Bible more than just on Sunday. Lifeway Research surveyed 1,000 Americans about their views of the Bible, and they found significant splits in how familiar they are with the Christian scriptures. They said those with evangelical beliefs are more likely, 49%, more likely to read a little bit each day than those without evangelical beliefs. They said Protestants, 36%, are more likely to read every day than Catholics, 17%. And I believe that is to do with the Protestant belief, is that the Bible is our sole foundation for all our belief and practice. But it's one thing to have good doctrine. It's another thing to have good doctrine and actually have a relationship with the Lord. Good success comes by spending time in God's Word every day. That will give us godly wisdom. It'll make our way prosperous. It'll give us good success. Nobody has all the wisdom that they need. It isn't automatic. There isn't a single Christian that can go through life without the scriptures. Have a plan to read your Bible through in a year. There's many good resources. We use the Blue Letter Bible. There's the Bible, the Bible in a Year, or I can't remember what it is, but they actually have the one-year Bible, where they have a whole Bible that is set up to be read through the year. I think it has an Old Testament, a New Testament passage every day, as well as a Psalm or something. But whatever plan you have, work your plan, as they say, right? Plan your work and work your plan. Read the Bible cover to cover. Read it from Genesis to maps, as they say, right? Read the whole Bible. Don't just take bits and pieces. The thing is, when we just pick parts and pieces of the Bible and just read a little bit here and a little bit there, we are not getting all of the scripture. I appreciate those that take the book of Proverbs and they divide it up into 31 days, or every day of the month they read one proverb, which is good, but that, I believe, is not going to cover all that you need to be studying. Study from cover to cover. If you were reading a novel, would you start in the middle of the novel and say, this doesn't make any sense? Or would you at least begin at the beginning and read it sequentially? The Bible, I believe, is set up to be read cover to cover. The next step after simply reading the Bible is to study the Bible. Study the Bible. Read it. Number two, study it. Go beneath the surface. Undercover truth. The principles, the insights of Scripture. Study the Word of God that way. I mean, at least be a student of the Word. We're not going to understand every minute detail of every single verse and every single passage. You could read the Bible and study the Bible every single day of your life, every minute of your life, and still be uncovering new truths to you, new things that maybe insights that you have not seen before, because you're connecting new information to the old. And as you grow and as you study, as you submit to the Holy Spirit, he begins to show you some things that were always there, but now they are applied to your life. So you have to study the word. You won't understand maybe every aspect and every detail, but you have to start somewhere. Don't force meaning into the Bible. Any passage of scripture has but one meaning. There's thousands of applications to a verse, and there's ways that we can apply it, but there's only one meaning. Don't force the Bible to say things it doesn't say. And by the way, that's why we read the whole thing. The whole counsel. If we are taking verses and just using one verse and building our life around one verse, we could possibly be taking that one verse out of context. We have to understand the whole counsel. Apply verse with, compare scripture to scripture. Apply that verse and study that verse in light of other scripture. That's how we get off on these false doctrines. Here are six great questions. If you can write these down, if you need them after, don't worry, I will give them to you. But here are six great questions. If you come to the Word of God with a clean heart and a teachable spirit, I think a lot of our problem is why we don't read the Bible is because we're not ready to receive the truth. We don't want to be right with the Lord. We aren't right with the Lord, and we don't want to be right with the Lord sometimes. We have to confess our sin. When we come to God in prayer, confess your sin. Come into his courts with thanksgiving and praise, but part of that is we have a reason to come into his courts with thanksgiving. Because we are forgiven. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So come to God with a clean heart and a teachable spirit. And as we do that, we can ask these six great questions, and I know the Bible will speak to us. The Holy Spirit will use the word. Number one, the question is there a promise to claim? Is there a promise to claim? When you find a promise in the Word of God, you need to understand that if God says it, he will do it. God is faithful. If he promises to do something, he will do it, and we need to claim the promises of God. The second question is there a lesson to learn? Is there a lesson to learn? Have you ever read a passage of Scripture and said, now, what can I learn from that? But there's always a lesson to learn. There's always something that we can get out of a passage. Thirdly, is there a blessing to enjoy? Is there a blessing to enjoy? You know, God's word is not just filled with negatives. It's filled with blessing. It's filled with things that God wants to do for us and God has done for us. Many times people, they balk at the Ten Commandments. It says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You know, God is actually saying no because he is protecting us from things that are bad. God knows if we violate his holy law and we violate his moral law, we are going to suffer. We are going to have a hard life. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. If you submit to the word of God and you say, God, your word is a blessing, all of those inhibitions, all of the things that where you tell me no, those are really blessings. Those are blessings for me to enjoy. And for every time God says no, he is redirecting us into a better path, the path of righteousness, the path of life. And so God is the God of life. He is giving us blessings to enjoy. So everything God says, look at it. What does the word of God say? Is there a blessing for me to enjoy here? Is there something I can lift up my hands to God and praise him for? Say, thank you, God, for this blessing. Fourthly, is there a command to obey? Is there a command to obey? Many of us like to share the promises of God, and we like to recite the promises of God, but we fail to obey the commandments of God. Obey his word, amen? Is there a command here to obey? Next, is there a sin to avoid? Is there a sin to avoid? Is God warning us of something? Is there a sin to avoid? Lastly, and here's the sum of everything, is there a new thought to carry with me? I hope that's helpful to you. If you like the list, I can give it to you later. But is there a new thought to carry with me? These are simple questions. But you can take just about any passage of Scripture and ask those simple questions and find an application for your life. Find God's intended application for your life that day. Ask yourself some other questions. Where do you want to be in your relationship with the Lord by the end of the year? Where do you want to be with your relationship with the Lord? Like, I'm not so much thinking about that, Pastor. I just want to get to the end of the year. I just want to make it to the end of the year. But we need to think beyond just surviving. We need to think about godly success in our life, spiritual success. God does not want us to just survive. God wants us to thrive spiritually. And so where do I want to be by the end of this week? The end of this month? Here we are, the fourth day of August. We still have quite a few days till the end of the month. Where am I going to be at the end of the month? Am I going to still be serving God? Am I still going to be faithful to the Lord? And am I still going to be coming to church even? Am I still going to be taking care of my responsibilities? God called me to do something. Am I going to be faithful in what God has called me to do? Am I going to be in the Word of God every day this month? You might say, I've never done that, Pastor. I've never spent every day in 1 week or 1 month in the Word of God. This is the time to start. Start today. You might say, well, I'm so afraid that I might skip a day or I might forget and I'm afraid to start. That's the devil talking to you, because the devil will tell you you're going to fail and then you will never start because of how much fear you have of failing. The Lord says you need to take that next step. Take the next right step. The step forward. The step forward for the Lord. And that comes from getting in the Word of God. He says there in Joshua 1:8, he says, verse 6, he says, be strong and of good courage. Amen? He says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest what? Observe to do according to all the law. We have too many Christians that are afraid of being successful, I think, because they've never experienced spiritual success in their life. Now, do you remember the day that you got saved? Do you remember the moment, the hour, the day that you got saved? And you say, praise God, the burden of sin has been lifted. And it seemed like that week, or maybe even that year, or that decade, God was just, he was just blessing your life, and you were going forward, and you were finding new truths, and you were excited about how the Word of God was alive, and how it applied to your life, and how the Holy Spirit convicted you and talked to you. But what happened? What happened along the way to get us to where we say, I don't know if I can be successful. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can go forward for the Lord. But he says, be strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest what? Prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book, and here's the key, it's the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You might say, there's nothing more I can learn from the Bible. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. You will not learn from the Word of God when you keep resisting the Holy Spirit. You are shutting off God's blessing in your life. You're shutting off God's giving you insight. He's not going to give you more truth for you to not follow. Now, the truth never changes. I'm not saying that we have somehow we're going to receive some word of knowledge from God. This is his truth. But you can read the Bible and it fall flat because you're not prepared. Your heart's not ready to receive the truth. You don't have a heart that is ready to be taught. But when you submit to the Holy Spirit, God will impart these truths to you, and it will become alive again to you. But that is up to you. That is your choice. We need to go through, if you've not been through discipleship, you need to go through discipleship. Submit yourself to that accountability partner. Submit yourself. And by the way, if you have not discipled somebody, maybe God's saying it's time for you to teach someone else. And as they say, he who does the teaching does the learning. Amen? It's amazing how much you learn as you teach others and try to encourage them and mentor them in their spiritual walk. Amen? Thirdly, join a Sunday school class. Oh, I'm much more spiritual than that. I don't need Sunday school. No, you need to get out of bed and be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in Christ at church. They need you there. They need you in their class. You say, oh, I'm not going to miss anything, and they're not going to miss me. You don't know what you are missing out on because you're avoiding being where the brothers and sisters in this church are at. If you're a part of this church, that's where you should be. Be in that Sunday school class. Be faithful. Be in church. I don't need to go to prayer meeting. I don't have time for that. Be in prayer. Be in prayer. Have a prayer list. What does that prayer list look like? What is on it? Who are you thinking of? Who are you praying for? Be in prayer for others. Find somebody that needs prayer today and just pray with them. Number two, we need to memorize scripture. You might say, well, Pastor Hoover, I'm not the student type. We learn what we want to learn, okay? I had a cousin, he could rattle off every statistic of every sports player, and he knew, you know, what years they played for the Blue Jays and then the Brewers and all of that, and he knew all of that. And we know people like that, right? And sometimes we're like that about a lot of things. I mean, we know what time this radio program comes on. We know what time, Chick-fil-A is closed. We know they're not open on Sunday. You know, we can memorize anything. I mean, you know what time Pick and Save closes, I'm sure. Woodman's is 24 hours. You know what time Menards closes. And, well, it's Friday, so they close earlier, or they're open later, or whatever. You know all of those things. You memorize what you want to memorize. You learn what you want to learn. And many times say, I can't learn new things. I'm old. I've been on planes where the stewardess goes through the whole spiel, right? The little speech. And people are there not paying attention, right? They're reading the paper, or they're reading the little magazine in the back of the seat. They're on their phone. They're watching. They got their headphones. A lot of times now in the planes, everyone's got headphones on. And I look around, and I'm like, am I the only one listening to this? This could be important. And I understand it. You know, some of those people have flown 1,000 times. And so, I mean, wouldn't it be ironic if you flew 1,000 times and you had 1,000 opportunities to hear how to escape the plane with your life, and yet every time you've never listened, and then when an emergency happens, you're like, oh, what do we do? Don't worry. There's a lot of first-time flyers that know exactly what to do because they're nervous, and they're ready, and they're listening. But people don't pay attention. And she says, there's a little card in front of you in that back of the seat that tells about all the safety features of the plane. But nobody pulls that card out. Nobody studies it. And I'm just kind of being funny about this morning. But boy, I tell you what, if a little stormy weather happens, guess what people are doing? They're finding that card. And they're like, is this one of those planes that, you know, has the seat cushion as a life preserver in case we go down over water? And where are the exits at? And we study up on those things. And they really begin to listen. They take their headphones off, right? It's a matter of motivation. That's what the problem is. Don't make excuses for why we can't memorize scripture. Go with me to Psalm chapter 19. And don't worry, I know we're switching spots, but I'm not going to take much longer this morning. Psalm chapter 19. I want us to understand the importance of scripture and the importance of God's word. And we give attention to what we value. Guess what? Some of you own stock. Maybe through your company or somehow in your portfolio you have stock. If you don't have stock, guess what you're not looking at? You're not looking at the stock market. If you have an investment in something, you're checking it out, aren't you? Some of you might own gold coins or something. Where's the price of gold? I'm not saying that's a sin to at least be aware of what's going on with an investment. Investments are not wrong. But what we study and what we give attention to shows where our heart is, where our mind is. If we're not giving attention to the Word of God, it shows that we are not valuing the Scripture like we ought to. The Bible says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's talking about Scripture. The Scriptures make simple people wise. You don't have to be incredibly smart to be a wise Christian. You don't have to be a genius to be a successful Christian. Amen? You don't have to have a bunch of degrees and all the alphabet soup after your name to be a success for Christ. You don't even have to have gone a day to school. By the way, I knew of a lady who did not know how to read. And there are a lot of people even in this city that don't know how to read. And I have empathy for them. But this lady got saved, started coming to church, and guess what she did? She learned how to read. She wanted to read the Bible. She was motivated because she understood that the Bible makes wise the simple. He says here, the statutes of the Lord are right, verse 8, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Sometimes we bristle and we fight God's commands. When I said earlier, God's commands are just helping us avoid a lot of heartache. Embrace the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And verse number 10, more to be desired are they than gold. Amen? More to be desired are they than gold. When you desire the Word of God more than you desire gold, I know that you're saying you can't teach an old dog new tricks, as they say, right? But if you got $100 for every Bible verse that you memorized, you would turn into a machine. There would be people lining up to say Bible verses for that $100. I mean, if we gave you a $5 gift card, a $5 coupon to Walgreens, you'd say a Bible verse for that. That's just, I'm being silly. I understand that probably most of us, okay. But what motivates us? What is motivating us? You might say, well, if I got $100, then I'd do it. But what you get from memorizing Scripture and hiding God's Word in your heart to be a successful Christian and to get through this life and to be not just to get through it, but to be a success for God, and you understand the value of Scripture, where you will memorize it on your own accord and not have to be goaded and prodded. Like, you know, I understand we have vacation Bible school. We had some awesome prizes and we had a lot of fun. And those kids were memorizing those verses. I mean, the first night there was a girl, she said her four verses before VBS even started. And why? Because there was a lot at stake. There was a lot at stake. There were some prizes to be won. And we do that for the kids, but I'm telling you right now, we need to value the Word of God so much that we don't have to be incentivized by outside forces for somebody to come along and say, I'll give you something so that you'll learn the Word of God. God has already given us so much, but he's also told us if you learn the Word of God, if you study the Word of God, guess what? You're gonna be a successful Christian. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not, what? Sin against thee. Oh, there's one more verse right here. You sit here every Sunday, right? You see this verse, Isaiah 41:10? Just memorize that verse. You'll at least have one verse for every year. We have a new theme verse. Just memorize. Hide God's word in your heart. Start with that. Don't say, I know some people are like, Pastor, I'm so motivated right now. I've never memorized Scripture before, but I'm going to memorize 1,000 verses before the end of the year. Okay, memorize the Bible, but it's so important that we apply the Word of God. I know a lot of people with them, those Awana, you know, we don't have Awanas, but we had looked at doing it years ago, but I know that kids grew up doing Awanas and all the different, trying to master clubs, different, like Patch the Pirate, Do Right Ranges, all the things that we've done. They're memorizing those verses and they're getting little patches and little awards and pins for all the Bible verses. But then what are we doing with all of that? We memorize God's word. We hide it in our hearts so that we can have victory over temptation, so we don't sin against the Lord, and we can have success in our life. We need to apply the word, memorize it, hide it in your heart, but meditate on it and apply it. Apply it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord thy God, Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason, and the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good conversation in Christ. What is our goal? Our goal is to live for the Lord, to bring him glory in this world. But Jesus told us to go and share the gospel, but he also told us to be salt and to be light. We should be making a great impact and effect, a supernatural impact in this community. And all that has to be done is what? For us to obey the Lord. Live out your life before others. The Bible says that we should let our light so shine. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's what he's saying. He said, if you have that good conscience, those that speak evil of you as of evildoers, they're going to be ashamed that falsely accuse you. Your good conversation in Christ. If all they can ever say about us in negative light is that we are faithful to the Lord, all those Bible-thumping Christians, is that all you got? That I'm living for the Lord? That I want to live a clean life? That I want to have a pure life? And you can, by the way, you could be a faithful Christian, not have 1 ounce of judgment, but everyone that is convicted by you will somehow say, they're judgmental. That's their problem. That's between them and the Lord. But live your life for the Lord. And guess what? Those that are around you, they will see God. They'll see God's glory through your life. Number two, memorize. Number three, obey, practice, proclaim. The key to my brother-in-law, to Will's life, has been reading the Bible. It's been he started memorizing scripture. And then he also lived out the truth. We need to obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. I know I've hit on it a few times, but obey the Lord. In 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. flew his small airplane from New York City to his family home in Massachusetts. They were going for a wedding. On board was his wife, Carolyn, and her sister. Though Kennedy was a licensed pilot, he had not yet been approved for instrument flight, which means that you are approved to using only your instruments to be able to fly the plane. That's for night flying. And when their takeoff was delayed until after dark, Kennedy should have waited for daylight or sought a more experienced pilot to help. Yet Kennedy took off into the darkness, and the plane never reached its destination. Investigators determined that the crash was likely caused by disorientation from flying over open water at night without any landmarks or visible horizon. Kennedy's lack of experience may well have led him to trust what he thought he was seeing more than what his instrument panel was telling him. And all of us face the temptation of living our life by sight rather than faith, because we have not tested and proved the word of God. When things are good, that's when we need to be in the word. Don't just come to God, oh Lord, help me, God. And you haven't been talking to him. By the way, if that helps you to get back in fellowship with the Lord, praise God for that, for those moments of desperation, whether it's a health crisis or family, something's going on. Praise God if that brings you back into fellowship. But we should be in fellowship with the Lord all the time. All the time. Be in fellowship. I heard a quote years ago. Make prayer your steering wheel, not your spare tire. Amen? I saw a bumper sticker this week, and it said, God is my co-pilot, right? God shouldn't be your co-pilot. God should be in the driver's seat, right? And you don't even need to be the co-pilot. Just be in the back. Trust the Lord. Put your faith in God. He's got it. God is in control. Nothing's falling apart. Everything's falling into place. Nothing has taken God by surprise. You might say, oh, no. But I'm so thankful that there are so many mature Christians in this world. There are many mature Christians that are right now, they're shining because they're not worried. They're not in great fear over the future. But my friend, we have to stay with the Lord every single day. I'm so glad that you have faith in God today, but you got to just stay in touch with the Lord every single step of the way. You cannot coast. You have to be in fellowship with him. And we need God's help. And his word keeps us on the right course. Human reason is going to fail us, but God never fails. James 1:15, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. At the end of his life, Joshua was fulfilled. And he had this to say in Joshua 24, verse 15. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for him and his house, he did serve the Lord. Praise God for that. And we should have that same motivation. That same motivation at the end of our life, having our loving family around us serving God. And by the way, even if they are across the ocean serving God, praise God for that. That is a success. That is a success. Living our life where everything is by sight and by human reason and we're conniving and we're trying to, you know, make things work out, let God handle all of that. Just obey him. Raise your children to fear God and to keep his commandments and to trust the Lord, to have faith in God. And guess what? No matter whether they're across the ocean serving God as a missionary or wherever they're at, you will have peace in your life and you will be so happy and so joyous at the judgment seat of Christ. When you meet the Lord and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that is what it's all about. That is the most important success that anyone could ever have. That's eternal success. How is it going? How is your journey going? Do you need a little bit of help? Do you need some prayer this morning? Do you need some encouragement? Living for this world is going to drain you. Living for this life is going to leave you longing. You might even be saved, but even believers can live for this life and they will find complete dissatisfaction. Only Jesus gives peace. Only a life lived for Christ will bring peace. Beloved, when the Word of God takes priority in your daily life, you will find success. Father, I pray that you bless today. I pray that you would seal the Word in our hearts. I ask that you would help us to have a church that prioritizes the word, a people of the book. I pray that you help us as we seek to encourage one another today, that we would not look down on somebody and say, well, they're not living right. Their family's doing this or that. Father, help us to point the fingers back at ourselves and say, God, just help me. I need your grace. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to confess any sin. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be just completely, thoroughly clean this morning. God, use the Lord's Supper service in a moment to be a blessing to our church.